We're going to start out with a prayer for those and those who have lost their lives. Father, you are a mighty God. God, this life is very difficult. There's a lot of pain and suffering. But Father, we are so grateful for who you are. We are so grateful that you love us, that you care for us, that you look after us, that you know how many hairs are on our very head. Father, you care for us and you've knit us in our mother's wombs. Father, I pray for those who lost friends or family in the attack in New York 13 years ago. Father, it's amazing to think that that was 13 years ago. It just seems like yesterday. Father, we pray that you heal and comfort those. Father, that this causes people once again to look to you. To find their strength in you and to find their hope in you. Father, because this world has nothing to offer us. You are the one who has the answers. You are the one that gives us hope. I pray that once again you be with those family and those friends. Father, please be with tonight. Use me and speak through me. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about holy. Turn to Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 8. It reads, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." In 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God?" Holy is a giant theme in the Bible. Holy means to separate yourself and to be dedicated to God. That's what holy means, to be separate and to dedicate to God. 551 times holy is in the Bible. 551, that's a lot of verses. And believe it or not, 198 of those are in the New Testament. 198 times holy is in the New Testament. And we know the New Testament is very short compared to the rest of the Bible. It is a large theme in the New Testament and throughout the Bible. It's a large topic. One that has been of great importance from the very beginning. He has, had, and will continue to call his people to be holy. Amen. To stand out and to be different than the world around us. Amen. To be countercultural and to live godly lives. Amen. He has called us to that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, because we've got to go back to the beginning. To see our calling for ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 1, says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God." Skip on down to verse 9. the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. Notice that there's a lot of if and then statements here. He says, if you fully obey, then God will set you above. If you keep his commands, then you will be his holy people. God set it up for a reason. God has his commands for a reason. It's so that we will be holy. Jesus reiterates this in John chapter 8, 31 and 32. He says, if you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is saying the same thing that God says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Do what I say, then this will happen. Notice you cannot get the then unless you do the if. You're not going to be set above. You're not going to be holy. You're not going to be righteous. You're not going to be free unless you obey. Unless you do what he says. God makes it clear to us what we are to do, and he backs up his commands with promises. I love that. That helps me because sometimes it can be difficult to obey. But then you remind yourself, well, if I do it, these promises come with it. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. He's got a lot of promises in there. Look at John 8. He says, if you do them, then you will be free. I want to be free. I want to remain free. So I need to do what he says. But the promises only come when we do it. So fun fact, there are 613 laws that God laid out for his people in the Old Testament. 613! I can't remember that many. But I want to look at a few. I'll just reference these. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9, it says, not to plant grains or greens in a vineyard. Interesting. Leviticus 19, 19, not to crossbreed animals. Deuteronomy 22, verse 11, not to wear clothes woven of wool and linen. Leviticus 19:10, to leave a corner of the field uncut for the poor. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28, every 3 years, bring all the tithes of the year's produce and give it to the needy and the poor. There's the law of circumcision. There's laws on not sleeping with your wife's sister or your father's wife. Leviticus 19, 26, do not eat any meat with blood still in it. Leviticus 19, 27, do not cut the hair at the sides of your head. Now, this is just a couple, right? There are hundreds more. Hundreds. Wikipedia, I think it's a legitimate resource, no matter what your teacher says. Wikipedia has the whole list with the references. Just look it up. It will blow your mind. I didn't read all 613. I did the scroll down and, you know, kind of skim read. I probably read about 100 of them. And it just blew me away. It blew me away. Because you see, God's people were different. They were different. They were like no one else. They stood apart from all other nations and peoples. They were different in the way they dressed, the way they looked, the way they acted, the way they farmed, their relationships, and even what they ate. They were different in every single way from all the other nations around them. When you saw a Jew, there was no question he was a Jew. You didn't go, man, was that guy a Jew? You knew immediately if the person was a Jew. When you walked into Israel, there was no doubt. You weren't like, where am I? What's going on around here? Oh, I know exactly where I am. Look at what these people are doing. I've never seen anything like this. What about you and I? How many interactions do you have to have with a person before they realize that you're a disciple? It should just take one. One interaction. They should go, this person is different. They might not be able to pinpoint it like, okay, he's a disciple or she's a disciple. But they're going, okay, either this person's weird or, wow, I really like this person. It's going to be one or the other, right? There is no, oh, he's kind of normal, you know, that's cool. How many interactions does it take? How many conversations? Do you stand apart from the world? Or if there's a lineup, no one can point you out. You just blend in. You look like them, you act like them, you think like them, you talk like them. Come on, bro. You watch the same thing, you listen to the same stuff. And people are like, oh, he's with us. Or they see you go to church. Oh, you go to church? You invite them to church and they're shocked. Well, I didn't know you go to church. That should show you something. They should not be surprised when you invite them. Do you stand apart? Do people have a doubt that you are a disciple of Christ? Do people doubt it? You know, in college, I worked at this car wash place. And it was cool. Worked with a bunch of guys, and as typical guys, there's this one guy, we were washing a car, and he hits me in the chest, bro, check her out. And I said, I don't want to look at anybody. I don't want to look at any female. He said, what? What's wrong with you? I said, I am a disciple of Christ. He said, a disciple? What is that? And he told every single person at my job, hey, Stephen, he's a disciple. But you see, this guy was like, hit me in the chest, so I could be like, oh, yeah, man, she's good looking. No, I was like, no, I'm not looking. I don't do that stuff. I'm not like you, man. The other week when I was sharing on campus, there was this guy sitting down. I said, hey, what's up, man? I'm Stephen. What's your name? He said, Michael. I said, oh, hey, Michael, what's up? You know, what are you studying? He's like, why? I was like, oh, I just want to meet you. He's like, people don't do that. And I said, well, I'm not like people. Yeah, I'm not like most people, you know? I said, I'm a Christian. He said, oh, man, I'm a choir leader. I said, really? You need to be a little more friendly. You can share your faith in many ways, amen? But the whole point is that you should be different. And people should know it immediately. Look how Paul addresses the disciples. Romans 1, verse 7, it says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. 2 Corinthians 1, 1, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people. Ephesians 1:1, to God's holy people in Ephesus. Philippians 1:1, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Colossians 1:2, to God's holy people in Colossia. Do you see it? Do you realize that we are called to be holy? That we are supposed to be holy? That means we are to be separate and devoted to God? And things that are separate stand out. You know, there's people who have, mostly our grandmas, right, that have that living room that you're not allowed to sit in. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes it's plastic wrapped or whatever, but you do not sit in there. That is a holy room. Like, you don't touch it. I'm like, man, I'm tired and all the other seats are taken. I don't care. Sit on the floor. You don't sit on those couches. It's separate. And we all know what that's like, but that's how we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be separate. We're supposed to stand out, and people might think it's a little weird. And that's okay. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. This is where we're going to dig into for a while. Ephesians chapter 5 is awesome. It is very convicting, and it is a high calling. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual morality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is by light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. As children of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus, we must be imitators of God. Imitators of God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says 5 times, "You have heard it is said, but I say." And it's the same thing here. He just raised the bar, right? He's heard that you are to obey the command to be holy and separate. But I tell you, imitate God. Live like him. Think like him. Act like him. Talk like him. Speak like him. Imitate him. That is a high calling. It is not like the 613 laws. There's no checkoff list now, right? It's be like me. That's what God is saying. Imitate me. Be my shadow. It's honoring. It's humbling. But it's also scary. It's challenging. Imitate him. Be different. It is a good thing. It is a very good thing to be different than this world. Have you looked at the world recently or any time in history? Just think about what's going on right now. You know, he says in here, not even a hint of sexual morality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's people. That's what we see in the world. That is what the world embraces and goes after. Is it not? Yeah. Sex and money? That is the driving force of the world. Money. He says there shouldn't even be a hint of greed. Are there hints in your life? Are you giving? Or are you tight-fisted? You know, I looked up some statistics about sexual assault and rape. 1 in 4 women will be raped or attempted to be raped in their lifetime. 1 in 4. I mean, you just look at this room. And that is a lot of people. That is a disgusting statistic. According to 1in4USA.org, almost 700,000 women who are currently going to college have been raped in this country. 700,000 in college right now. 1 in 3 girls are sexually abused in their youth. 1 in 3. And of those, 93% of them knew their attacker. 93% knew their attacker. These statistics are scary. They are shocking. And outright make me mad. I hate it. And bad thing is that only about 15% of rapes are reported. And so these statistics are just estimates. It could be more. It could be way more. This is the world that you and I live in. This is what surrounds us. Be separate. Be separate. Be holy. Be divided. Be devoted to God. Do not be like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't look like the world. Don't act. Do not be enticed by the world. Amen. Don't be enticed. It's all lies. It has nothing to offer us. Only pain and regret is where that is. It pains my heart to know that this stuff is going on. Even at GGC, where I am at almost every day. It pains me. That's why I have the conversations that I have. Because if I'm like, I can convert one guy or have one conversation with a guy that's going to leave one less woman raped or assaulted, it's worth it. If we can convert one girl and save her from that, it's worth it. But this is what the world has done with sex and sexuality. God intended it for good. He intended it for our marriages. It has been completely twisted and made into a harmful and sick thing. Do not even go near it. Do not have a hint of it, because it is improper for God's holy people. Improper for God's holy people. God calls us to live a life of love, not to indulge in sin. He calls us to live a life of love. We know the pain and how empty it is to live that life. In verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Guys, we once were darkness, but now we are light. We once were part of those statistics and might have added to them. But now we are light and we can expose it. We are part of truth and righteousness. We now are holy. Find out what pleases the Lord. He says it twice. Find it out, discover it, study it out. He says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. That's what he says. Expose those fruitless deeds. He's calling us to get open and to get real. I think many of us can take this passage and be like, oh man, I can't wait to call someone out. I saw you sin! But I think he's calling ourselves to show it. Reveal your sin. Get open, get real. Get painfully, uncomfortably open with where you are. These are the thoughts I have. This is what I want to do. I didn't do it, but this is where I am. Have you done that? Have you let someone in that deep? Have you been that open? Have you been that real where it's uncomfortable? Or are you just like, you know what? I know I should have done something better. You're justifying it. And, you know, I was tired and lots of stuff was going on. And I had this outburst. Come on, man. Say, I was upset and this is what I said. This is what I think. This is what I wanted to do. Help me. You need to tell this to someone that you trust. Someone that you can be open with. But expose your sin. put it into the light. It's much different when you expose it than someone else exposing it for you. It's a lot easier that way. It is a lot easier, a lot less pain. Exposing yourself than someone else calling you out. So choose to be holy. Choose to be righteous. And expose yourself to the light. Verse 13. It says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is all part of being holy. This is all part of it, guys. You want to be different? You want to be separate from the world? Let it out. The world keeps it in, and it kills them. Let it out. Being in the light and exposing yourself to the light. Look at what he says. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. He says, if you're dead spiritually, if you need to wake up, let it out. Let someone see it. Let someone see who you really are. And then you'll be like, oh man, this is great. Finally, this is out there. I'm not carrying around this burden anymore. Let it out. Be open. Be real. We need to do this because the days are evil. And we need to live each and every day to the full. We are not promised tomorrow, so make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of it. What one thing can you do? What one thing can you change in your daily life to have an impact? You know, I think it's something that you could do is talking to one person a day about what you have read. That has an impact, guys. Amen. Just talk to one person. What is that, 5 minutes? If it's good, it's going to be longer, amen? Yeah. What about packing a lunch instead of going out to eat, and whatever money you save, you give away? What about that? That's, what, $6 to $10 a day? Guys, that stuff adds up. That's a small thing that can have a large impact. You can call a brother or a sister and encourage someone on a daily basis. Every single day, you're just calling someone up. Bro, I just want to encourage you. Sister, I just want to encourage you. None of this stuff is incredibly time-consuming. I feel like sometimes we're like, man, if I want to have an impact, I need to go change the world. I need to quit my job, and I need to start this nonprofit foundation, and I need to go do something crazy. Guys, if you just do something 5-10 minutes a day, amen, it has a huge impact. Amen. Start small, and it will grow. Don't psych yourself out and try to conquer the world. There are so many things that you and I can do. Go think about it and do it. That's what I'm calling you guys to do. Do new things and be different. Be holy. Look at the world around you. Just be different than them. Give. Verse 19. He says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Now talk about different, right? You're talking to someone in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, right? May our conversations always be salty. You know, I know football season is going, and that's exciting, right? The summer drought is over. But is that all we're talking about? Is that all we're talking about? Or our jobs, or complaining, or whatever? What are we talking about? Life can be hard at times, and we need to be encouraged. Right? We come here on Thursday night, and we're tired. Like, man, I just got home, and I had to stuff the food in my mouth and get in the car. Maybe you didn't even get time to go home. And we're tired. Guys, we gotta come in here and be like, all right, let me just encourage someone. And the result is you'll be encouraged. Amen? But Thursday nights can be difficult. You know, my son, Roxanne's back there pacing because he's, you know, he's trying to sleep. This is hard. This is different. This is a new phase in life. I'm like, man, midweeks are so different now. I feel you guys. But this is why we come to church. This is why it's so important. Amen. You know, if you see someone, you're like, man, you know what? They're not here tonight. You need to call them up. You're just like, you know what? I need to encourage you. Man, today must have been rough if you couldn't make it to church. Call them up. Encourage them. It is important. You know, some of my favorite songs in the songbook, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Amen. You say that to someone, man, that's encouraging. You know, I am a poor, wayfaring stranger. While traveling through this world of woes, yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright world to which I go. Man, this is great stuff. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. You know, just something simple like that. Telling someone that, just reminding them. I know I'm encouraged after reading those words. I'm like, yeah, we can do this. All right. But this is how we're to talk to one another. This is how when we come to church, man, we got to encourage each other. Amen. Not with our words, but with God's word. And also, he says, make music to Lord, to the God in your heart. Daily worship is so important. Yeah. It's so important, guys. There are so many quiet times I've had where I'm just singing. Yeah. Those words are so much better than the words that I can think of. Right. And worshiping God is what we were created to do. He created us to worship Him. If you're only worshiping him for 3 songs on Thursday and 4 songs on Sunday, you are missing out. This needs to be a regular thing. That's my conviction also with communion. If you're like, man, this is tough, have communion on a Tuesday night. Remember who Jesus is and what he did for you. It's not just limited to Sundays. Do it. It's an important daily part of our life. God calls us to be holy, to be separate and devoted to God. The question is, am I being holy in all the ways God calls me to be? You know, for example, there's monks, right? Monks live up in the hills and they have that shaved spot on their head and they're just with other monks and they're chanting and whatnot. Sure, that's holy, but they're missing a whole other part, right? Reaching to the world, making disciples. They're missing one part of it, guys. It's a big part. But what about you and I? Are we missing a part of being holy? You know, we have such a focus and emphasis on being pure and not being influenced and corrupted by the world, and rightfully so, because it's so easy and so many people are pulled away by it. But we are we being in holy in all the areas that God calls us to? In a little bit, I'm going to show a video. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Starting in verse 7. It says, if there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The 7th year, the year for canceling debt, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward your needy brother and give him nothing. He may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. God calls us to be holy in this matter as well. And if you read those 613 commandments, a lot of them deal with the poor. I talked about one, right? Leave the corner of the field unharvested for the poor. God is very concerned for the poor. He has a huge heart for the poor and needy. Do we? Are we holy in this? That's pretty real, huh? You know, this was me. I would pass by people like they did not exist, like they weren't even people at all. You know, when you're at the red light and there's a guy holding the sign at the red light, I would never make eye contact. Because if I make eye contact, then he's going to want to come over here and ask for money. I would look down, or I would look ahead, or look over. Guys, this is us. Is it not? God calls us to be holy in this matter as well. To be different. I mean, the husband looked at his wife and didn't even recognize her. Just kept moving. This is very convicting. You know, after studying this stuff out, God has completely changed my heart about the poor and destitute. It changed me. And I'm calling all of you to study it out yourself. Because a little video, I mean, yeah, you may be convicted tonight. But, you know, next week, what is that going to change? You're going to watch the video again? You need to go to God's Word. You need to let His Word convict you and change you. Study it out. Study out all His commands God has about the poor and needy. Go through that list of the 613 and look how many times He talks about the poor. This is something that we're drastically missing. And we need to change that. He called His people to be holy in all the matters. Not just the way they dressed, or the way they eat, or the way they farmed, all of them. And He calls us to imitate Him, to be holy like Him. You know, we know James 1:27, right? God's perfect religion is care for the needy and the orphans, and to not be corrupted by the world. That's what He wants. Guys, we're missing the first part. It's just like, go and make disciples, all right? And teaching them to obey everything. That second part can be hard because it takes a lot of work. But it takes both. We just can't pick and choose. We have the walkathon coming up, right? This is such an easy way to give. 18 million orphans? Are you kidding me? Take Atlanta and times it by 3+. And that's full of orphans? And all we have to do is just knock on someone's door? Come on. Come on. Or not eat out on that Saturday and spend $50. Give the $50. You know, it's not beyond our grasp. It's nothing that you and I cannot do. After studying this out, I give. I engage. I look at them. I talk to them. Engage with them. They are people with souls and spirits. Study it out. It will be very convicting. God has a huge heart for the poor, and He calls us to be holy in this. God has always called His people to live lives that are separate from all others. God set up 613 laws for His people in the Old Testament, so that they would be holy, that they would be separate, that they would be different. And now He calls us to imitate Him. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." 1 Peter 1, 5, He says, "Be holy, because I am holy." Hebrews 12:14 says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Guys, it's going to take every effort to be holy in all these areas. Study them out. Do it and be about it. Let's give it all we have. Amen? Alan, can you pray for me?
Thanks, Stephen. Let's pray. Father, we know that You are holy. We know that we fall far short of the holiness that You call us to. Father, I pray that that we'll take to heart the things we've seen in your word tonight, the things we've heard. Father, I pray that you would help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to be different from the people around us. Help us to be like you in every way, not to have a hint of sexual immorality or of greed. Help us to be open-handed towards the poor. Father, help us in every way to be like you, to imitate you. And Father, help us to strive for perfection in our own lives, because you too are perfect. You are holy. Father, forgive us for our sins. Please help us to make the changes that we've seen tonight. We love you. Help us in our fellowship today to encourage one another. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.